Hey friends, welcome to season 3 of Tulips in Tuscany.
We're so excited you're here. I'm Steffi.
Paige.
And I'm Sarah. We're excited to dive into this next season with you, and we hope our conversations provide some great insight and support as we navigate this journey through Holland.
Welcome back, everyone. Tonight, we are welcoming back the dads. It seems like you all really enjoyed having them on one of our previous episodes from last season, so we were super excited to bring them back on for a special Q&A segment. But first, a quick word from our sponsor.
So I am super excited that my son and I just started working with a company called Simple Spectrum. They are one of the highest quality vitamins and minerals in the most bioavailable forms and nothing else, which is really how supplements should be. Their mission was to create the kind of nutraceutical supplement that they wanted to see available based on the latest scientific research and free from the additives packed into so many other similar products on the market. I love that they understand it's not always realistic to get your child to take multiple products in a day, which is why they created an all-in-one prebiotic. Their supplement provides the nutritional needs of the developing nervous system with extra support for individuals with autism, like my son Lane. By addressing potential dietary deficits often seen in children with autism due to picky eating habits and sensory issues. So be sure to head to the link in our podcast notes to check them out.
All right, guys. So we're really excited to have Paige's husband, Gabe, Sarah's husband, Josh, and my husband, Jordan.
Hello.
Hello, Tulips World.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, so tonight I think we're just going to keep it pretty casual and not drill into the guys too hard. It seems like they were a fan favorite last time, so we're excited to bring them back.
So to start, we are just diving right into the hard questions. This was actually a question that we got on one of our question stickers, and it was about temper tantrums. So we want to talk a little bit about temper tantrums and meltdowns, and how do you deal with those? Because those can be really hard. So I think we're going to start with Jordan. If you could just talk to us a little bit about how you handle the hard temper tantrums.
I don't think I have a good answer for that, to be quite honest. I think having a son with special needs and him having temper tantrums, it could be for a number of different things. And just with him being non-vocal and not really knowing how to express himself, I think is tough. But to be quite honest, I don't really have a correct answer for it. I think it's just kind of getting him to calm down or trying to discipline him in a way that we feel is necessary.
Which would be like what? Like what's kind of been our go-to?
I mean, if it's something that he's, you know, that we kind of know that he's acting a little dramatic over or, you know, acting ridiculous about, then we'll put him in timeout.
Yeah,
but
timeout's been our go-to, so we've been trying that out, and we've tried a lot of different timeout methods. Are they working? I don't know, but that's been our go-to.
Does he normally stay in timeout? Like, do you guys do in the room, or do you do stairs?
He has a chair that he sits in for food.
Okay.
Which I know I probably shouldn't use that same chair. And actually, Jordan and I were talking about how we should just get like a special timeout chair. But what we've been doing is we move the location from the table where he eats if he has to use it for timeout, and we put it in the corner. And that's usually like last method. Like, I feel like we try to give him lots of warnings and lots of like talking through things or giving him chances for communication first. And then if he's still just totally flipping out and doing typical tantrum, like toddler tantrums, then timeout is where we usually end up. So.
Okay. Josh, what would you say is our way of handling it?
We usually give them a couple warnings and then we threaten to kind of take something away. I would say, depending on like how extensive it is that he does that is, I guess, wrong.
Depending on the situation.
You know, it might start as something as simple as like no popcorn tonight, because he's got a daily routine of like popcorn after the bath. Like when he goes downstairs, it's kind of this quiet time to kind of wind down. So we
love that.
We kind of threaten taking away his popcorn.
Not the popcorn.
Or, you know,
he'll take the popcorn away. You give that boy his popcorn.
Yeah, the popcorn, or like he's getting back into it now, but he had a couple months off where he really liked Italian ice after the bath. So we give him an Italian ice. So we'll threaten something like that. It's kind of like his little treat time, you know, where it's just him and us kind of hanging out downstairs. We do the timeout, We try it, but it's not always a timeout. Sometimes with his meltdowns and temper tantrums, however you want to call it or whatever you want to call it, we also will just kind of tell him to go cool off. We won't always say timeout. We'll say go cool off in your room, and we'll give him 10, 15 minutes in his room, sometimes less, but just something to where he can be up there and kind of reset himself.
That's a like good point. I think we call ours a break for the most part.
That's what we call ours.
Break or a cool off period and just go reset.
If it's a full on meltdown, we just kind of remove him from the situation and remove him from the girls just so that it doesn't end up with him getting aggressive. So we'll just, same thing. Like just call it a break or just ask him if he wants to cool off and just remove him for a little bit.
We do use timeouts though. Like if he hits, well, you know, he'll typically go on timeout or, you know, and whoever puts him in timeout, Sarah and I have this thing that if you put him in timeout, you go up and you explain what he did wrong when it's time to come out of timeout.
Yeah.
So that's our little way of disciplining.
What about you, Gabe?
Those are great. This one's tough. I feel like for everybody, I know for me personally, I'm somebody, especially when it's out in public, I get pretty embarrassed. If he's having a meltdown in front of people, I get pretty embarrassed. And Paige has reminded me that, you know, it is what it is when you have a child with special needs. So I'm working on that. But in any event, in some of the things we do to try to prevent it.
Yeah, I think I don't know. He gets like super self-conscious about it and like how other people would feel watching it happen. I don't think you get embarrassed of Tristan.
Right.
I think you get
it's more Tristan, of the behavior.
Right.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, I don't know what to do. People are going to think I'm a bad dad or something. But
no, I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been finding actually giving choices. I think Steffi mentioned something about that. But yeah, giving him two choices that seems to have helped his behavior. Waiting for him. You know, I know I like to, I'm kind of in a hurry. I like to have him be on my schedule. I don't like to be late. But I try to let him, you know, if he needs to have his time, to, he might not be moving at my pace. Try to, you know, give him a little bit more time and whatever time he needs. Yeah, we do time out as well. We have like a pack and play that he's scared to climb out of still, even though he's fully capable of climbing out, that we can put him in the pack and play.
That's his like break spot.
Yeah. Yeah. We do the break. But I think Josh had mentioned when whoever puts him in timeout, we do the same thing. We have him apologize for the behavior that he did, and then you know, we'll take him out. So,
yeah, lately he's been apologizing. You say, Tristan, it's time to apologize. He goes, okay, I'm sorry for hitting and screaming and fighting and kicking. And he'll just list off
all the behaviors.
And I'm like, you created a script in your head and you're just repeating it to get out of timeout. Like you're not even like actually like engaging in it. So I think it's probably time we switch up some of our tactics because he's just like rattling off the script for us.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
Go ahead, sir.
No, I was just going to say, I feel you, Gabe, with what you were saying. Like, it's not necessarily embarrassing, but like we went to, we took the kids to the farm last weekend and Lane had like a full on meltdown and I mean, threw himself on the floor and like, he's getting bigger and he's heavy and it's difficult for me to be able to like pick him up. And I just, in the moment, I could feel my face just getting like bright red and I was trying to like handle it with grace.
Oh, no.
And I'm trying to lift him up and he's like a noodle, just like flop. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, stand up. And everyone's just standing in line for ice cream. And the meltdown started because he didn't want to wait in line. And it's just hard. Like you definitely feel like all eyes are on you and like you're getting judged. But yeah, I mean, I understand that feeling for sure.
I was just gonna say, tougher feelings to navigate.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say, none of us are experts. We're all just doing the best we can. And to whomever asked that question, just know I'm sure you're doing a great job. I think every family is gonna be different in their approach and what works for one kid. I know for Jordan and I, we've talked about it quite a bit. We'd really like to be able to discipline both of our boys the same way, and I think that's our goal, obviously. But I also think that like I have a friend of mine who talks things out with her child a lot. Like it's kind of that gentle parenting approach, and I love that, and I wish I could do that with Joshy, but I just don't think he's going to comprehend a lot of those things right now. where you're like talking through the feelings and trying to help see from other perspectives. And so I do hope that that's something that I can incorporate with Jax and at an earlier age where maybe he'll be able to understand some of those things. So yeah, I think that's kind of our end goal, is to be able to discipline them the same way and not necessarily treat one differently, but also we're going to have to do what works best for each kiddo because they have different personalities. So
yeah, that's such a good point though, because we all have multiple. I feel like we're trying to do the same thing with Ella, but I don't know. We're pretty hard on Ella.
Ella's got it rough.
Yeah. We have to remind ourselves sometimes to just like be patient and try and discipline the same way just so she can, you know.
Yeah. I'm kind of a little bit ahead of where you are, Steffi, with like the boys' ages. We're like the same kind of like birth order and stuff, with Tristan being first and Joshy being first. We're kind of in the same boat with the boys' ages, Steffi. And so I can kind of speak to that because Ezra is a little older. So we do a lot of the same things with Ezra and as we do with Tristan. And he actually is able to understand a lot more than we give him credit for. Like, we really talk things through with him. We do a lot of first and then with Ezra, which is a lot of what we do with Tristan. But
yes, we do a lot of that
at the
too.
Point now. He just like, he's like, I don't care if it's first and then, I want it now.
Yeah. But when you were saying you wish you could just like talk things through more. And I felt that way the other day because I saw a parent doing that with their child. And I don't know, sometimes I'm bummed that I can't just do it that way, because sometimes I feel like I get so short when I like keep saying the same thing over and over again to Lane. So I do wish we could kind of like talk things through more with him understanding it, but it's difficult.
I think both of our boys too, and Tristan, but I think both of our boys will get there eventually. I just think right now I have to really like simplify things for him, or it just goes right over his head. So I do try to talk to him in some forms, but it's just very like minimal, simple phrases. Like, that makes your friends feel sad, like things that I think he can understand. Whereas hopefully as he gets older and comprehends more, I can give him more complex conversations to understand.
Yeah, you and I were just talking about that, like simplifying like the way we talk to him. Okay, so when things are at their worst, how would you guys say your best personal way of handling stresses? Gabe, why don't you go first?
Your best personal way. So my best personal way of handling stress is, well, I like to work out. I like to watch sports. So every day, every day on my lunch break, I make like 30 minutes of my own time to hit the gym and have a little bit of control in that aspect of my life. And then I like to, you know, unwind, watch some sports on TV as well. I have like a 45 minute drive into work, so I'll sometimes listen to praise and worship music as well. That's a good way for me to handle stress. So I would say those are my main three there.
I think Gabe and Jordan are going to be besties. They sound like the same exact person. Jor looks at me as Gabe's talking. You guys are the same person.
He forgot to add the part where like he comes home and he smells horrible on the days that he works out. I'm like, you were at work with your coworkers?
That's what the showers are there for.
He's like, well, I changed my shirt. It's just the car ride back. I'm like, okay.
I get an hour from lunch. I don't always get a chance to take a quick shower. Thanks, Ben.
It's fine. It's just, it's real life, you know. Like, you sounded so like perfect when you said that. I had to like bring it down, bring it back to real life.
I feel like, well, you didn't really get to hear his answer. I feel like Josh's answer would literally be the exact same. But we are talking about how you de-stress.
Oh, gym, hands down. Gym, run, some sort of physical activity. Lately, hasn't been
as easy
with three kids, because I do have guilt like after I work all day or whatever, and Sarah's home with the kids, and even if she's still picking them up from daycare or school or whatnot, to go have another hour or whatnot at the gym and then come home, like I still have guilt, so I'll skip it. But you know, with COVID and the kids, it's just been tough. But luckily I do manual labor too for a living, so it kind of helps to get some stress out that way too.
Yeah.
How about you, Jordan? I have a feeling it's going to be the same.
Yeah. Should I change it up? Because that's what mine is. Yeah. I try to exercise 5 times a week, go for runs at night, kind of wants the kids to go down. Yeah. De-stress, run.
We did just get a family gym membership, which has been really nice. So that way we can all go. And then we all get to work out after. We usually go in the afternoon and then we drop the boys off at daycare. And then Jor and I get to go on like a workout day.
That's so fun.
I can't wait to do that.
All the boys said sports, working out, and you missed it. But Gabe was talking about how he listens to worship music and he's got a long drive into work. And I was thinking, that's literally you too.
I do the same thing. K-Love or Air One Radio or worship music I listen to when I'm in the car, stuck in the car. Or just anytime alone. Like, I'm always, like, Monday through Friday on my phone, talking to people nonstop, texting, email. And it's just a little bit of alone time at night. Helps me de-stress for sure.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how at this age, like, when Gabe was talking about the car ride, I was thinking the same thing. Like, the car ride has become, like, a de-stressor for me. I'm like, if I'm in the car by myself, literally sometimes I don't even put on music. I'm like, I'm just gonna drive in the car and listen to the people.
Quiet.
yeah.
For the sweet sound of silence. It's great.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Okay, so I do have a question for you guys because all of you have very similar personalities. So what would you say for maybe the dads that can't go exercise or don't have that time of day to go like work out, or maybe they're just not like a athletic type? You guys are all three very like athletic guys, played sports, stuff like that. So what, maybe for those dads that don't do that, what would maybe be like a good idea for them to be able to de-stress?
I always say maybe hanging out with other dads, maybe in a similar situation, or going out grabbing a bite to eat with maybe one of them, or happy hour or something along those lines. That's kind of what I'm thinking anyways.
Happy hour sounds like a great idea.
That does sound right.
Yeah. I think he's probably right. Just something to where he can get out and just with friends, you know, it's kind of, if he needs to talk, you can talk to him and we'll just get out and have a little bit of a break. Just clear his mind.
Yeah. I think it's so important to just have like even that one go-to person that you can just like make a phone call to and not even vent to, like looking for a solution for whatever is going on, but just to have someone listen to you or listen to you vent. So I feel like, yeah, just a support system is probably so important. And if someone's not into sports or physical activity, I mean, sometimes just having someone you can sit with and chat with and vent to, I feel like is so important for women and men in this situation.
I totally agree.
Okay, what do you guys wish you had more support with when it comes to raising a child with special needs?
So I think a lot of our friends that we hang out with, I think we're pretty blessed in that area to where a lot of them, their close-knit friends, kind of understand and they're really good help as well. Like, we can count on them to, you know, if we ever needed help to watch Lane or you know, any of the kids, you know, we can count on them pretty closely. But we also have this book called Fragile X Fred too.
We both have it.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, you guys all have it. We pass it out to friends and to people that we know we're gonna hang out with kind of for the first time, that like if they haven't met our kids yet, but we've been friends with them, you know, with the parents, we'll kind of send it to them or drop it off for them and try and have them read that book to just kind of explain to the kids how kind of how Lane might act, just so they're kind of, you know, pre-warned about some things that he could do or say, or, you know, just to kind of prepare him, especially now that he's getting older and his friends and our friends' kids are all getting older. They'll understand a lot more. Right? When he was younger, it wasn't a big deal, but that seemed to kind of help quite a bit, as long as the parents read the book to the children, though. If they don't read it, then it doesn't do anything.
That's a good idea, though.
The point of the question being, what do we wish we had more support with? We were just chatting the other night and we were saying we wish sometimes, like, we can only talk to our kids so much and like prepare. We're getting to the point where before it was kind of easy, but now with Lane being in school and him being 5 and there being birthday parties and places that we're taking our child, like, we can only do so much. Like, we really need to rely on like our friends and other parents that we hang out with to kind of do their part as well and like talk to their kids, because I won't like talk, but we have had a few issues recently and it kind of just leaves us sitting there like, oh man, like I really wish they would have talked to their child versus us always having to be the one to address the situation. So I think we both can agree, not to steal your answer, but we were talking about this, that we just kind of wish in the support area that not even just our friends, just parents in general would have more conversations with their children about children with special needs, just so it all the weight didn't fall on our shoulders.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the weight of advocacy is usually on the parent or the caregiver of the child with special needs or the adult, which I think is kind of crazy because they already have so much on their plates. Like we already have so much on our plate. Mm-hmm. Typical parents don't get to see as many doctor's offices. They don't see therapists every day. They certainly don't see the temper tantrums and the challenges that lead to the temper tantrums every day. So something so simple as having a conversation with your kid to me is like worth its weight in gold. But to them, right, it's like a 10-minute conversation that could change how an entire day looks for us.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
How about you, Jordan?
You know, we've been so just blessed and fortunate to have just all the support with Joshua as far as therapist wise, physical, occupational, speech, feeding, you know, music therapy. All the therapies and all the just approvals and doctor's visits and state approvals and stuff like that you have to go through in order to get some of that funded. So we've just been just so blessed to get all that approved and funded through Arizona. But really I think maybe having like a how we have this close-knit group with you guys, just with us being around the same age and having kids kind of around the same age, I think maybe having something like that locally that in Arizona around our house here would be pretty awesome to have that support, families to hang out with, or Joshua to, you know, kids that are on the same spectrum and have Down syndrome, I think would be pretty cool.
I agree with that. And I feel like I, as the mom, especially like George is usually working, I take Joshy to most of his therapies and things like that. So I feel like I'm the one that often connects with other moms. But it would be really cool, I agree, to be able to find more couples or even for the dads. I feel like they kind of get left in the dust a lot with meeting other dads who are in the same situation. But I feel like, especially what Gabe was saying earlier, where he just kind of struggles with, you know, things out in public or kind of feeling alone in some of these like behaviors that he's dealing with. And I know George struggles with that at times too. And then you meet other dads that are like, oh, I feel the same way. You're like, oh, cool. We connect in that way. And we share the same, you know, feelings. And so I just think it's so important to be able to have that connection. And it's cool that we can do that, you know, via podcasts like this and talk that way. And we have this like virtual friendship, but it would be really cool to be able to have that locally for sure.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would love something like that.
Like Jordan was saying, we've been really blessed. I've kind of had to just lean over and ask Paige kind of if she had any thoughts on this one, because nothing really came to me right away. You know, we've been really blessed here, like some amazing therapists, some amazing teachers he's had. We both have really good moms who would be here within, you know, a drop of a hat to help if we ever needed it. I guess I don't really have anything, but I would agree with Jordan and Steffi. I guess having maybe some friends that we know a lot of people, or not a ton of people, with parents that have kids with Down syndrome, I guess we just don't really have as much in common with them, I guess, close by. So we haven't really developed as close of a relationship. I think maybe one couple.
We have like,
where kind of a far distance, Sarah and Sawyer.
Yeah, Sarah and Sawyer.
Maybe
and
we then should develop a dating app version where you can swipe, like, oh, we have a lot in common with you.
Yeah.
Let's be friends.
Because, you know, like for us, I know it's like a huge part of what we do at Tristan is like health stuff, and he's doing great health wise. And I just like want to share like how great how great things have worked for us. I'm like, hey, do you guys want to hear about like this new study I found? Like, you know, and that's just how I am, but I don't like always.
You can always count on me, Paige.
I just like nerd to the max, you know, like I just love sharing that stuff, like whether or not somebody like actually does it or not. I just love talking about that. So for me, it's like having those friendships where people understand like, hey, I'm passionate about that and I'm going to talk to you about it. And it's okay if you just like, it comes goes in one ear and goes out the other. That's totally fine. I just love sharing this stuff and it makes me so happy. And it's like my kind of conversation versus talking about like the, you know, pop culture and what the Kardashians are doing or something.
Yeah, and I was going to say, we have a cousin who's in his 30s who has Down syndrome. And, you know, I know through him that they're, you know, just in general, it's the world has come along, or the U.S. has come a long way, I guess, regarding, you know, the support that this, that at least I know kids with Down syndrome get, and there's more of it. And so, you know, we're blessed there. But I guess the only thing, other thing I was going to say was maybe some just activities that are more geared, I guess, towards kids with special needs. I know Tristan, he's a absolute runner. So if we don't go anywhere, if we go anywhere, we're like saying, is it fenced in?
Yep, that's us too.
Along those lines.
Like, does it go directly to water? I need to put some theme song and make like a reel out of this because it's like literally our life, man.
I think the dating app for special needs parents would be a great idea because you have the common ground of having a child with special needs. It's still like, I forget who was just saying this. One of you were just saying like, sometimes you can't always like relate to them or have other stuff in common with them. It is so crazy that like all three of you guys are so similar. Cause that's not the same case. I mean, that's not always the case. Like we know other people who have, you know, children with special needs, but I'm not also going to force myself to just hang out. You know, we don't have a ton of stuff other than that in common. So I don't know. It's interesting to me that these three guys ended up being so similar.
Yeah, what's sure. funny to me is like, we live in Orlando, which is, well, Central Florida. It's a major metropolitan area. Population is huge. We have Disney. I mean, it's just a huge area to live in, which is why we have access to such good resources and therapists and our core group of friends. We were just over at one of our friend's house yesterday and we're godparents for one of their kids. So we're super close. He went to college with them. And so it's cool that we have those friends, but within the community, I feel like, I don't know, a lot of times, like given our kind of like hesitant, and I don't really know what that all comes down to. We're like so comfortable with people that we've known for years to like share Tristan with, but then to like develop new friendships with new families. Like, what is it? What's,
it's just hard. Like, I just feel like as we're older, it's like, well, yeah. And you're just comfortable. Like, we have a lot of friends. When we lived in California, we lived there for several years right after we got married. And I feel like we made a few friends here and there, but similar, like it was nobody necessarily that we felt, it just wasn't the same as the core group of friends we had here in Arizona that we've known for years and years and years, you know? And I think it's just part of that. They've gone through life with you and they know you in a different way. And so while I have friends in California that I love dearly, I feel like even especially finding couples on top of that, like that's even harder, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's so true. We do have a couple like that lives close by and they have a little daughter and, you know, she's so cute, Mila. And so we've like been making plans. I'll have to send her this episode so she knows. We've been trying to make plans and we're like, let's get together. But then like coordinating everybody's schedules is really hard too, because some weekends you're like, okay, we want to go on like a double date, and then, you know, something will come up in the beginning of the week and then you're just like, well, I don't think this is going to work out anymore. And so those, and they live so close too. So I don't know. I think we just have to put like a bigger effort forth to actually growing those relationships, because I think, I mean, I would like love to hang out with you guys all like every other weekend or like, you know, do happy hours.
Right. Me too.
Yeah. But also I feel like too, for us, even though we don't get to see each other all the, I mean, we see each other via podcast, you know, but
when
you know, we've been able to see each other a few times in person, but. Mm-hmm. But we share so much with each other and we talk so much that I feel like we've all connected like really well. And yes, I also think it's kind of just been a big blessing that we all get along, because that doesn't always happen whenever you pick 100%. Three random people yeah. to do something and work together. You know, we've been really lucky in that. But
I mean, me and totally Paige and I, Paige and I had to share a bed together after meeting each other for like, you know.
You guys bonded.
Yeah. We bonded. Sang me the good morning song.
Oh, yeah. I sang her Tristan's good morning.
Oh man.
True love.
But it's true. My awesome singing voice is not awesome.
Okay, well, we don't want to keep everybody for too long, but we hope that you guys have enjoyed this so far. So we've got one more question left on the table, and it is, what is something that you're grateful for on this journey?
Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Something I'm grateful for. So the thing that pops up into my head, the like first thing that pops into my head would be Joshua's health. Having a kid with Down syndrome, not knowing what we were kind of going into, but just a lot of different health issues, whatever it was, like 50%, you know, having heart issues and, you know, vision and just different physical, just, yeah, tons of different physical issues that come with having Down syndrome. Joshua has just been so, just fortunate and blessed in having, just kind of none of that. So that's just something that really, you know, has stuck out to me.
Yeah. He's had a few, you know, little things here and there, but nothing that is like
major
world changing yeah. for us that I see some of my friends who have children with disabilities go through.
That's a great answer and very important. What about you, Josh? What would you say that you're grateful for?
Not to be cheesy, but Sarah, she is a great mom.
Aww, I didn't even write that in there for him.
Sarah, I see that.
He's getting grounding points.
It's got to be, hands down, no, in all honesty, Sarah, she's a great mother to our special needs children, gives them everything she's got.
So sweet.
You know, and still is enough for Ella and myself.
Yeah.
And not only that, I think my, the health, you know, you had a good point there too. The health of Lane could be even more health issues than what we already have. It could be worse off. So I think that aspect are pretty good, but, and we got a pretty good, our family helps us out pretty.
Yeah.
We get a lot of help. People are kind of jealous of how much my family offers and Sarah's family off to like help yes, out and watch and, you know, give us,
as give my dad's watching our out. Boys for us right now.
I know. I feel like all of us really do have great support systems with our family. And we try often not to say like, oh, well, it could be worse, because like, I hate, you know, minimizing the stuff that we do go through with Lane. So I don't like to, well, and hope as well. So I hate to say like, we don't like to say it could be worse, but then yes, we do often like stop. And when I, you know, see a child who has more severe needs, I'm just extremely thankful, yeah, for his health and that we're able to do the things that we do with him, and hope as well.
So, yeah.
Thanks, babe. I don't know what you need from me, but that was really good.
Man, I feel like Jordan's wishing he would have gone third now, but
can I go again?
Josh is just trying to make everyone else look bad.
Sorry.
No, but that, I guess, you know, Chris's health would be my biggest thing. I have a couple. He has some early health challenges, but those, you know, thankfully have all cleared up. So, I mean, he's kind of hit his stride these last couple years. So he's growing and getting to be a big boy. And so, you know, we're able to communicate better every day with him. So that's been amazing.
He doesn't always listen, but
this probably the second one would be this kind of going back to that last question, the support system we have here has been amazing. Paige being the head of that. She's really kind of surprised me regarding like she's kind of turned herself into a scientist of sorts.
She totally is.
He is a scientist.
I mean, that's all because of Tristan, so that's been pretty cool to watch. And then just I guess the last thing would be just personal development, just having Tristan in our lives and kind of growing and understanding this whole new community has kind of has just, I guess, broadened my horizons and I think made me a little bit of a better person. So.
Yeah, you definitely stretched your patience. Like, I always thought Gabe was a pretty patient person, but I will usually be like, okay, I need a break. And I'll just like walk away and Gabe's still like putzing around and like hanging out with him. And I'm like, can you put him in time out? Like, he has so much more patience with just like the kids than I do. But then, you know, he does have the point where he's like done. And then I'm like, oh no.
Oh no, now what?
Yeah, now what do I do? But you've been, yeah, a lot more patient than I think I'm capable of being. And then super forgiving with like when situations come up just in life, like outside of just Tristan, like you just like developed a different kind of like grace about you with stuff that I'm just like, I could not. I'm still mad about that. And then I don't know, just like, it's really changed you for sure in the best way.
It's interesting seeing your partner like take on a new role. Like, you know, as Gabe said, Paige, the scientist, nutritionist, all that. And like, you just, I'm sure Steffi, you and Jordan are the same. Like you, when you get married, I feel like you don't, I don't know, like I saw Josh in a whole different light. And then like, as you become parents, you see him in their new role. And then it's an entirely different role when you become a special needs parent. I feel like it's just a different, such a different role. And you just learn so much about your partner and really.
Well, and I will say, not to get too deep, but I think with marriage, like I think back to sometimes to when Jordan and I, before we were married, like dating, we're different people. I mean, we've completely changed, you know, a lot of aspects of our life. And I think a lot of it's growth for sure. But just, it's a lot for marriages to withstand. I mean, you go through so much and then especially having children with special needs. And like you said, it's this whole new ballpark, you know, you're learning this whole new language and all these new things. And, so yeah, you know, you're just, you grow, you guys grow together. And
For sure.
We definitely have our ups and downs though. I don't want anybody listening to think we're all like all perfect.
Oh,
I
definitely absolutely have, like, not.
A huge meltdown because Tristan had like a crazy like ear infection that would not go. And we were just like doing all these things. And like, we just got in a fight about it and not just, but back then we got in a fight about it and it was horrible. And I flipped out and I lost my marbles and like was like leaving the house to go on a ride by myself in the car. And like, it was just really bad. Like it was so, so bad. But I mean, I think we were able to like realize we were both arguing about like the same thing. Like we both just care about Tristan, but we just felt so helpless in that moment because nothing the doctors were saying, nothing we were doing, like nothing was working to help him. And then he's got like a lot of ear drama. So it was just like one of those frustrating moments where you're like, is this going to break us? Are we really just going to get in this huge fight and like not talk for like weeks over this? Or are we going to actually like both like swallow our pride, trash our egos and say, look, I was wrong. You were wrong. We were both wrong. And we're both sorry. Let's move on.
And I think I posted this story on my Instagram. It was like a TikTok and it was like, after almost getting a divorce, trying to pack all the kids in the car and then ready to head off to a fun family filled day.
I think I showed Josh that, Steffi, after you posted it because I was cracking up.
Yeah. That literally was us the other day.
It was us the other day. I posted it and Jordan's dad come over. He goes, so you guys getting a fight? Or we're fine.
I love those ones. They're like the family on their way to church and they're both just like sitting in the car speaking. Or like the family photo day. Like we almost get divorced every time we have family photos. It's stressful. Definitely stressful. Right. Not actually getting a divorce, but
I mean,
each other's patience.
Yeah. Just, I guess, reminding everyone that we are all human. Yeah. Our marriages are human.
Yes.
Yeah. But we definitely have our breaking points. Mm-hmm. One thing we like try to do a lot is, or every time we have a disagreement, or like I'm hot tempered, so I like fly off the handle and I'm spicy.
Gabe seems like the hot tempered guy. I'm surprised.
So I actually can't really picture like Paige being that way either, but
oh, I can.
Really?
I'm kidding. I've grown I'm just 19. Kidding. 19 was probably like my worst year of my life. Like it was, I always reference everything like 19-year-old Paige would not have done this. This is growth.
This is growth.
But we like try not to go. You didn't know me then.
No, I know if it happens. You reference 19-year-old Paige.
I do. But what I'm saying is like I try not to go to bed mad at you, or at least like if I'm mad, I like try to like talk about it and like, hey, I'm so mad right now, but it would just like get to a point where you're not like harboring like the resentment as much, and it's just like tone it down. Because I feel like when you like sleep on anger with your spouse, it just gets worse the next day. At least that's how I feel. Yeah. I get really bitter the next day if I go to bed mad at him.
I feel like we honestly could do a whole marriage podcast and talk about it. But
we probably should.
Maybe have like a licensed marriage specialist come on. I'll join the side. That'd probably be really helpful for a lot of people. Yeah, that's
true. Thank you, Hubbies, for joining us. We know you were just dying to get back on and talk about your feelings with us. And thank
almost
you
had to bribe Jordan.
He wasn't going to do it earlier this afternoon. He did. Like, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, you are. And he's like, we're having fun now. He's just super shy, I guess. Not a talker.
Introvert. I do that
for the both of us. Okay. And thank you, as always, to our listeners. If you're looking for ways to get involved, make sure you check out our Tulips website.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, appreciate guys. It.
Thank you.
You got it.
Thank you.
Bye, Hubbies.
Bye, guys.